If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. This is Internet Marketing, and today I'm joined by David Deering, owner at Touchpoint Digital Marketing Agency. Hello, David.
Hey, Andy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Oh, you've made me really relaxed now, because you've got that sort of really sort of relaxing...
Well, you know, it's... I know it's the afternoon for you, but it's the morning for me, so I'm still probably half asleep, so, you know, we'll see how this goes.
You do sound very relaxed, and you've made me much more relaxed now, so thank you for that. Let's start off by learning a little bit about David Deering and what you do.
Well, I own a small digital marketing agency in New Orleans called Touchpoint. It's in Louisiana, in the United States, across the pond. So we do everything from web design, SEO, so on. But one of the things that I specialize in is structured data markup, helping companies implement schema.org markup on their websites. So I've helped actually many companies, from the small local mom and pop shops to large multi-billion dollar brands, implement structured data on the markup, on their websites, I'm sorry. And then also, you can usually find me on Google's Webmaster Central Forum, assisting others with their structured data and rich snippet questions.
Excellent. Now, the thing that I'm really interested in is that there have been some changes recently in Google's sort of structured data testing tool, well, and their guidelines. But before we drill down into that, let's just have a reminder of sort of what structured data is and how it helps, because we have touched, you know, we've covered this a few times on the podcast, but let's just remind our listeners of how it all works from a sort of like 10,000 foot view.
Well, in simple terms, structured data basically is the process of adding certain tags or codes to your web page to help teach search engines and machines what the content on your page means. See, when Google crawls your website's pages, all it sees is just a bunch of codes and characters, but it doesn't really mean much to them. Well, structured data markup helps provide context to that content. It helps them better understand it. For example, let's take an e-commerce website. If a website sells products on their website through structured data markup, you can help Google and other search engines understand, for example, what the name of the product is, or who makes it, or what brand it is, how much it costs, and what price currency, whether or not you have it in stock, and what rating previous customers have given it. And that's just one example of how it can be used. Really, the applications of structured data markup are pretty much endless. Now, besides helping search engines and machines better understand the content, Google and the other major search engines can use your structured data markup to display rich snippets and search results. So going back to a website that sells products, by marking up those products, Google can possibly display in the for your search result the particular product's price, the availability, and the rating of that product right there in search results, right under your search result. So if your webpage lists... as another example, maybe it, your web page has some event and you mark it up with structured data, Google might display the name, the date and location and cost of the tickets right there in the results page.
Yeah.
And because rich snippets are visual and tend to draw people's attention to that listing in the search result, they can in turn lead to more clicks and visits. So that's another possible benefit of structured data markup. But really, the main benefit is that it helps search engines and machines better understand the content on the page and what it means.
Yeah, as a developer, I really get that, because web pages are designed for humans, aren't they? To look nice to humans, but they're not terribly good at defining what the data is actually on the page. So I guess this is a way to make the markup make more sense to computers and be more sort of database-like, I suppose, isn't it?
Right, right. So we can look at a web page and we understand the purpose of it. We understand if there's a product on the page and we see the price and so on, we understand that they're selling the product at their website. Search engines really don't necessarily understand that. They don't know if the website is selling the product. Are they reviewing the product? Did someone just buy the product and they're talking about it? So they really don't understand it. So again, that structured data markup helps them better understand what exactly the purpose of the page is and what the content on that page means.
Now, you mentioned rich snippets, David. Just remind us exactly where they are on the search results. Are they these sort of fancy little boxes you often get on the right-hand side?
Yeah, sometimes if you do a search for businesses maybe or products or even recipes, you might see like the star is a 5-star rating right under the search result. So that's one example of a rich snippet, which is generated through structured data markup. Again, if you mark up your products, Google might show the name of the product and the price currency, whether or not you have it in stock, and also the rating, if all that is on the page and marked up. Events, again, they could show the time, date, and place, cost of tickets. So there's a handful of rich snippets that Google will show, and they're continually developing support for more and more. So I won't be surprised if we see more rich snippets, different types of rich snippets, to appear in Google search results pretty soon.
It's really nice, these rich snippets are. So they normally appear in a box, don't they? They're really sort of nicely formatted, and they tend to sort of jump out from the jumble of the rest of the results, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Sometimes you'll see them right directly under the search result.
Yeah.
And then Google also shows what's called the Knowledge Graph panel, which is typically on the upper right side of the page. So
yes.
Through structured data markup is one of the main ways they understand the content. But they can, for example, if you do a branded search for a company, they might show that company's logo
and
the founder's information, or you know, when it was established, and their main contact phone number, and they're showing their social media profile links right there in the Knowledge Graph panel. So all these things are really based on the structured data markup that they find on a website.
Now, when it comes down to actually sort of implementing structured data on our websites, there are two main ways, aren't there, David? You could tell us about those.
Yeah. Most people will use either microdata or JSON-LD.
Let's start with the microdata, because that's the one that I'm a little bit more familiar with.
In simple terms, microdata basically describes HTML tags that are added to a web page. And in this case, are used to implement structured data markups. Now, these tags aren't visible to your visitors, but they are there mainly for the benefit of machines and search engines who can read them. Microdata is one of the more popular ways, common ways that webmasters implement structured data markup on their websites. The other way that that Google is actually beginning to support more and more now and encourage more and more is JSON-LD. JSON-LD stands for JavaScript Object Notation for Linked Data.
Okay. And just for our listeners, you know, if you're not familiar with JSON, that is a kind of it's widely used, isn't it, in the sort of programming world. It's a great way of describing data using sort of principal text characters, if you like, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not going to get too technical because I'm not too smart that way, but basically JSON-LD is just another syntax, another programming language that can be used to add structured data markups to your web page. So it's different than microdata in that it's a script that's added usually to the head section or somewhere in the body of the page.
Yeah.
And of course, there are some differences between microdata and JSON-LD, and each have their pros and cons. But most people will either use one or the other to add schema markups to their site.
Can you use both, David, or should you only use one or the other?
Typically, Google likes you to stick with one.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes, I've seen websites or web pages have both, but they don't want you really marking up the same content or the same entities with both. So I would just, try to go with the one that's easier for you and stick with that one throughout the site.
Now, tell us a little bit about Schema, because this is quite important, isn't it? This is where all these various formats of microdata are described, isn't it?
Yeah, Schema, or technically it's schema.org. It's one of the, and probably the most well-known vocabularies that's used to implement structured data markups. It's a standardized vocabulary that's supported and continuously being developed by Google, Bing, Yahoo, and Yandex. So a few years ago, they all got together and agreed upon this standardized vocabulary for structured data. So anytime they come together and agree about something, that's something that we want to take note of. But they all recommend that webmasters mark up their pages with structured data using the schema.org vocabulary.
Now let's move on to what Google have been up to, because they have recently changed their guidelines, haven't they, on structured data and sort of be giving slightly different advice. What changes have been happening there?
Yeah, so they actually made changes both to their guidelines as well as to their testing tools. As far as our testing tool goes, if you have tested any structured data markup in recent months, you'll notice that the tool is different. One of the main differences now is, does it look different? But you can now test both microdata and JSON-LD markups, where previously you could not test JSON-LD markups with the Google structured data testing tool.
Okay.
However, the downside is with the new tool, the rich snippet previews have gone away. With the old testing tool, you were able to see a preview of the rich snippets that Google might display for your markup.
Yeah.
But with the new tool, we're no longer able to see that now. But they did that for a reason. And speaking to someone at Google who was involved with all of these changes, Google and the people at Google felt that too many users were focusing first and foremost on getting rich snippets.
Right.
And if they saw some rich snippets in a testing tool result, they assumed that Google was going to display the rich snippets in actual search results.
Yeah.
And that's not true. So Google removed the rich snippet preview in the new testing tool because they want people to focus on getting the markups right and not be overly concerned about the rich snippets.
Now, I was just going to interject there, David. Do we know what governs whether or not these rich snippets will get shown, David? Or is it one of the many mysteries of Google?
Well, only they, know exactly what determines it. But it's kind of like rankings in a sense, where they're going to look at the quality of the website. They use a bunch of various quality signals to determine if, when, and rich.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Which rich snippets to display for a web page. So your markup may actually be technically perfect, and you test it, and it may be perfect. You may have no errors, but it doesn't mean that Google is going to display your rich snippets, because, again, they're looking at the quality of the website and the various quality signals. Sometimes there's no need for them to show rich snippets based on the search query. But overall, they're going to look at the quality of the website and the web page. So if you test your markup and you know your markup is fine, you know your code is fine, then my advice and Google's advice is to focus on the quality of your website and see whether there's anything that might be preventing them from displaying your rich snippets in search results.
So there's been a lot of changes to the guidelines as well, you were saying, David. What are these?
Actually, there have been two major changes to the structured data guidelines. The first has to do with how markups can be implemented on a site. In their old guidelines, Google stated that if a person used microdata to add structured data markups to their web page, the tags had to be added in line or around the actual content. The tags and codes had to surround the content where it existed on the page. They had very strict guidelines about hiding your markups by doing such things as using all meta tags. But adding markups to the content on a page was pretty tricky sometimes for people, because let's say if you had your logo and company name at the top of the page in the header, and then some content in the body of the page, and then maybe your address and phone number in the footer, I could get kind of difficult to mark all of that up and nest it correctly and get the markup right.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Google understood our pains and struggles. So in their new structured data guidelines, they simply state that, quote, you generally shouldn't mark up content that is not visible to users. However, adding microdata tags in line or around the content is no longer required. So, in fact, it's now permissible to use all meta tags to add structured data markup to a page. And you can simply insert the tags in the head section or in the body of the page somewhere, as long as the markups reflect the content that's visible on the page to your users. So that's actually a huge change, because now adding structured data markups to a website has just become much, much easier to do. So I think this was a great change on Google's part and should make a lot of webmasters and website owners happy. But again, the important thing for everyone to remember is that the markup should reflect the actual content that's on the page. So in other words, don't try to sneak in some other things into your markups just because you want to get snippets or because you don't want to display something on the page, because Google will no doubt catch that.
Yeah.
And they can, and they will take manual action against your site if they feel that you're trying to be deceitful with your markups. But hopefully this new change will lead to many others adding schema markups to their site, because it has made adding them or implementing structured data markup and schema markup much, much easier. The other major change in Google's structured data guidelines is in regards to marking up reviews and ratings. In their old guidelines, Google stated that you could only mark up content that was generated directly by you and your users. So if you wanted to mark up your business's reviews and ratings, they had to come directly to you from a customer. So in other words, you couldn't say, we're rated 5 out of 5 by 20 customers on Google Plus, or we're rated 5 stars on Yelp by 20 people, and so on. But with their new guidelines, Google now allows us to mark up third-party reviews and ratings, which is another huge change and a good one.
Okay.
But again, whatever you mark up must be visible on that page. Their new guidelines state that we should, I'm not just going to quote what it says, make sure the reviews and ratings you mark up are readily available to users from the marked up page. It should be immediately obvious to users that the page has review or ratings content. So it's now acceptable to mark up third-party reviews and ratings as long as your users can access those reviews from the page. Okay. So again, you know, that's another major change from the old guidelines. But really, in both of these changes that Google has made to their structured data markup guidelines, it's made things much easier for all of us to add markups to our websites. And they've, in some respects, loosened up with what's acceptable now. But again, we just need to make sure that our markups accurately reflect what our visitors see on our page. As a general rule, if it's not visible to a human, then we shouldn't add it to our markup.
No, that does seem to be the golden rule, doesn't it? If it's invisible, don't mark it up.
Right. They don't want you displaying something to visitors and then showing, you know, machines and search engines something out. They want your markups to reflect again what people actually see on the web page. And you know, there have been many cases where people try to sneak in some things in their markups, and Google will catch that. So it's not worth trying to take a chance with. So just make sure that, you know, your whatever you mark up, it's just someone can see it when they visit the page.
Fantastic. So in the light of all this then, David, are there two or three top tips we should be giving out to our listeners, things that they should be doing?
Well, my advice is to mark up as much as you possibly can on your site. And that includes, of course, marking up your business's name, address, phone number, hours, your logo. And you can even include your various social media profiles in your markups. Google now displays all of those things for branded search queries in the knowledge graph panel that we talked about earlier, that information box that you might sometimes see in the top right corner of search results.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that everyone should do. But really, there's almost no limit as to what can be marked up with schema and structured data. As I mentioned earlier, you can mark up the products you sell, the concerts and other events that your page is referring to, reviews and ratings, recipes, videos, articles, and even the services that your business provides.
Mm.
Now, one of the biggest areas I see many websites fall short in, you might say, with their markups, is that they don't go far enough with them. They might mark up their NAP, their name, address, phone number, which usually appears in the footer, and that's as far as they go. So every page on the website might have some markup on it, but it's all the same. It's just of their name, address, and phone number.
Mm.
And that's a good start, but it's only a start. And, you know, to be honest, Google probably already knows that information. You know, they probably already understand your name, address, and phone number, especially if you've ever created any citations or done any kind of offset SEO. So I recommend going as far as possible with your markups. Figure out what the main entity on your page is or what the purpose of your page is, and then structure your markup with that in mind. Now, you, of course, can still include your NAP within a markup, but usually it will be part of a much larger markup. For example, if your page is a product page, then you want to fully mark up the product with you or your business as the seller of that product.
Yeah.
Or if your page is describing an event, then the event is going to be the primary marked up entity with your business as the organizer of the event. Or if your page is describing a service that your business provides, the service itself should be marked up, and then your business's markup would be included as the seller or provider of that service.
David, is this because I suppose in theory, any query, any Google query might end up just hitting one of your sort of deep pages? So are you saying that it's a good idea for each page to, I don't know, not quite stand alone, but certainly have enough structured data there so that people know your business name and things like that, even if it's like a product page?
Yes. I am a firm believer that every page of your website should have unique structured data markup.
Mm.
So again, if the only markup on your page is just of your name, address, and phone number, then you're not really helping Google and the other search engines understand or better understand the content on your page.
Yeah.
So again, I advise people, or when I'm doing work for a client, I figure out what is the purpose of the page? What is the main entity on the page? What is, you know, the reason for this page? What are they trying to accomplish? And then you structure your markup around that. But as a general rule, your markup really should be unique, because every web page, the content on the page is going to be unique.
Mm. Now, you mentioned earlier that if you get this wrong, and if you try and be deceitful, you know, Google can sort of downmark you a bit. But conversely, have you seen any sort of positive results in rankings and traffic because of good use of structured data like this? What's your feeling on this? Any hard data or gut feelings?
I personally, and I know others who have gone, you know, pretty far with their markups and marked up the pages and websites well for themselves and for other clients. We have seen where it does help the web page appear higher in search results. It does lead to more traffic and more clicks. So I'm not going to say that simply by adding structured data markup, you're automatically going to rank higher and it's going to help you. But if you do, you know, really dig deep with the markup and go as far as you can with it, and you really help Google and the other search engines understand what that content on your web page is, I have seen, and others have seen, that it can lead to higher rankings and more clicks and traffic.
So I would definitely advise all of our listeners to certainly go and revisit those structured data guidelines over at Google. David, thanks so much for coming on and sharing your knowledge about this. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, they can find me on Google Plus. Just search for Plus David Deering, or they can contact me, visit our website, which is touchpointdigitalmarketing.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Show notes, as usual, will be at sitevisibility.com/impodcast. We're on iTunes and Stitcher, so if you fancy doing a review, that would be great. If you want to email us, podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. If you want to leave an audio message or a question, it's +44 1273 256 150. So that's all from me, Andy, and it's all from David.
Thank you, Andy.
And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.